This is CliffCentral.com.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Adrian Groenewald, Leadership Transformation Platform, with me, Louis Groenewald, and our special guest, Dr. Danisa Baloyi. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Come nice and close there. Yeah.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me. I'm humbled.
We look forward to the second half hour where we zoom in on you and your career and
Absolutely.
Studying overseas and how you view the country from all the different angles you sit on various boards, and of course you're very involved with what am I thinking now? What's that organization? Business, Labour and NEDLAC.
Yes.
So, you know, all of that gives you a very unique view. But the first half hour today will be a message to the youth.
Yes.
We're going to talk to them, prepare them, give them a realistic view of what lies ahead, because some of us have walked that path. So that's what we're going to talk about today. A reminder, last week we had Advocate Thuli Madonsela on the show, last Monday, so you can download those podcasts. We had a full hour with her, full studio, and it was a fascinating conversation with this woman who's certainly made a difference in our country and hopefully continues to do so. Right, our leadership master lesson, preparing future leaders for reality, for the real life out there. Now, I wrote an article some time back, and that's going to form the basis of our conversation, and Dr. Baloyi is going to jump in, and we've got Louis Groenewald, the old man. So we've got very experienced people sitting in front of me, and I'm not void of experience, but I'm not as wise as the two people in front of me. I've got quite a few points in a message for youth, all the youth out there. Let's give you some, hopefully we can impart some wisdom to you. The first thing, the first principle that I want to convey, and then the panel will comment on each of these as we go through the process, is to develop a quality that I would call healthy patience. Healthy patience. In my view, young people of today want, I don't know, they want two cars, their own home, their flat screen TV, status, wealth, and much more, sooner than their parents ever dreamed of acquiring these things. And it's exciting for us to meet with executives in large organizations. Very often they're in their mid-30s, and they're already right at the top of this organization, and they're wondering what their next step is. And I think about this trend where we get younger and younger leaders at the top of big corporates. Surely that trend can't continue like that, where leaders become younger and younger and younger. Somewhere we'll lose something if that is the case. So you know, the message is, in most cases, one cannot escape the time ingredient in the recipe called experience. Young individuals must just guard against becoming so patient that life passes them by. Hence, a healthy patience should not be confused with apathy. So yeah, be impatient in a way, but not unhealthily, and realize that experience does not come except through time and doing a lot of things. So that's my first part of the message for youth, healthy patience. Dr. Baloyi and Louis Groenewald, your view on that principle that youth may or may not need to acquire.
I think really one can understand how they can be impatient, because we come from a past maybe that put people in categories, and apartheid into democracy, everybody wants their peace and democracy dividend now. Uh-huh. And I think, much as we'll talk about how maybe it's not, you know, something that we want to push, we should understand the context of how some could be like that. Mm. I believe that we grew up in our time, and maybe Mr. Groenewald Senior will remember where we were taught that experience is the best teacher, and that you needed to learn by doing. things and then get to a point where you excel and you are able to move forward.
Mm.
Notwithstanding that sometimes you can be thrust into a position or a task that might come before it's time to you.
Mm.
You need to understand that. You need to prepare yourself. I'll give you an example. When I was made chairman designate at Danel, I knew nothing about the defense industry.
Yes.
I knew absolutely nothing. And I told Minister Skau then that, listen, you can't put me into this position because I don't understand this industry. She said to me, you know what? You will swim and not sink. Mandela was in jail. He was never president, but there he is. And from that, I took her to be saying, to excel in this, you'll have to learn about this institution. And I spent countless hours poring through the books at Danel, understanding, traveling to different divisions to understand what it is about. Being on a board of an organization doesn't mean attending 4 board meetings a month.
A year.
It means understanding what the organization is about, understanding the ethos, understanding the people who work there, understanding what makes it tick. So that's just one example. But other than that, I think one needs to understand that it's baby steps and then you grow.
That goes with some of the other points we'll touch on today. Yeah, a good example, the healthy patients, Louis.
Just the principle, Adrian, that your concept of healthy patient brings out. When I met the doctor just now, the first impression I had with years of experience is a solid patience, a commitment. Now, what I'm saying is you don't get this cheaply. Mm. There was a maturity already there, a confidence as well. You need a certain kind of patience to learn. Keep on learning and nourish yourself as well. If not, you're just going to make mistakes and you've got to go back, etc. That's nothing to do with age. It's a case of attitude. Mm. So I'm just saying, people, you've got to work, as you were saying, you've got to be prepared to learn all the time. All the great leaders we've had on our shows have been learners, you know.
Okay, so the second point goes very much hand in hand with that, discipline to be consistent. You know, in a world today where we say whatever career you're in now, a few years from now, you won't be in it anymore. People will change from career to career. Technology is changing the world. And your CV of the same job in 20 years is not that valuable as showing that you've been in a few places. So the world, you know, the whole perception is changing. So the discipline to be consistent. But yet there's a principle that Malcolm Gladwell in his book called Outliers came up, which is fabulous, where he talks about the 10,000-hour rule or the 10-year rule. And that's become a very popular thing to talk about in the world, where we think people rise to the top. We call it overnight success story, you know, of bands or athletes or business successes. And the truth is, when you go and do your homework, they never had an overnight success. They played in pubs for 10 years or for 10,000 hours at least, quietly, long nights, smoke infested places, and then eventually the so-called overnight success comes. So the principle is, no matter how the world is changing, you have to acquire the discipline to be consistent in what you're doing to eventually earn your stripes.
Yes.
Dr. Baloyi, your comment on that point?
Yes, I agree 100%. In fact, I mean, your paper is excellent, touching on the right things that young people can benefit from. You've got to be consistent. And sometimes being consistent can lead to a lot of problems for you. But if they know that this is your view, that doesn't mean you don't learn, because you can't be static. Our world is dynamic.
Yeah.
But you should be consistent in some of the things, values, and norms that people know you for. And you know, you touched on young people who today are this, tomorrow they are that, and the other day there's something else. Some of it might just be that we don't have what we used to have during my time at school, career guidance, whatever it was at that time, because they said you either be a doctor or a teacher, a nurse or whatever. Mm. But there was some guidance. Maybe today the world has developed so much that there's so much to choose from that is confusing. And sometimes as parents, I think we also are to blame, because we really want to mold our children to what we want. For instance, my daughter, I wanted her to be something else, I guess. And she says, "Mommy, I want to study fashion." I know it's very tough being your daughter, and I'm sure you want me to do something else, but this is what I want to do. So can you allow me the wings to fly in that field? So it's difficult sometimes for parents to understand that maybe I would have wanted her to be a lawyer, a doctor, or whatever. She says, none of that. Mm. I want to study something else. But they need to know what they want to do.
So she would have to, in terms of the conversation today, in her career, have a healthy patience.
Yes.
And the word healthy is important there, because you almost, it's a balance between being impatient and going for it, being ambitious,
yes,
but being patient. She'll have to acquire the discipline to be consistent in that field. She,
yes,
might include technology, she might jump around in different fashion, whatever, but if she wants to be successful in that industry, she'll have to show some discipline in consistently sticking with the industry,
yes,
and walking her path and earning her stripes
and finding out what the industry is about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not thinking it will just happen maybe because she's my daughter,
yeah,
or because my mother will introduce me to somebody else, and not do the preparatory work. She, yeah, will have to understand, mm, that she has to earn her stripe herself. And this is what I think you are talking about, that, yeah, our young people have to be fully prepared.
Yes, Louis, discipline to be consistent.
And the principle, we shouldn't confuse the discipline to be consistent with resisting change.
Yes.
That's completely different. Now, again, the doctor mentioned a beautiful principle. What you're really saying is you be consistent in your values.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I didn't realize that your values make you, and your values determine your attitude and therefore,
absolutely,
your reality as well.
Okay.
So from that point of view, I just love the idea, because you're going to have to change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But some things you don't change. I got the impression, meeting the doctor again, that, you know, she's like a rock in some ways.
You got a lot of impressions meeting her
well,
first
I'm old
time.
Man, I'm right with it.
Okay, the third point latches exactly onto what the two wise people in the studio are saying for youth out there. Clarity about your value system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going into a world where you need clarity about your value system. The world is changing at a rapid pace.
Mm-hmm.
More than ever, the next generation not only needs some intelligence in handling complexity,
mm-hmm,
you know, we talk of IQ, or emotional intelligence to deal with emotions and relationships, or even they talk of spiritual intelligence these days. They also need to be able to make the right moral decisions under pressure and open scrutiny, because the world is more open than ever before.
Yes.
So whatever you do will be more visible than ever before. So if you're not sure about your values and what you stand for, you'll be in trouble. They need to have a good sense of what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Further to this, a value system also means they understand what they value most. For example, they shouldn't learn later in life that family and health and reputation is extremely valuable at the cost of success.
Yes.
They need to find that out much sooner,
mm-hmm,
sooner than we did maybe as
yes,
this generation. So that's the next point, and hopefully some wisdom for youth, is clarity about your value system. And Dr. Baloyi, I mean, that comes into a lot of your passions. I mean,
yes,
if you're going to go into corporate now, there's things called corporate governance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of these ethical,
yes,
and unethical behavior, morality that's important for business leaders.
Yes.
And any youngster who goes into the world and is very clear about his or her values,
yes,
will do so much better when they come under pressure and scrutiny,
yes,
in the corporate environment.
It starts in the home,
yeah,
because there's no gray area between right and wrong.
Mm.
We teach our children as to what is right and what is wrong. And when they go into the work area, at least they have that basis and the grounding and the fundamental value system that we've made them understand.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that we'll be there 24/7. They will make their own mistakes, but there's a basis. Also, indeed, on corporate governance, I find myself very, very fortunate to have been part and parcel of of being in the King One report preparation. And one learned a lot. And but to take that and put it in the workplace is another story. I talk to young people a lot about corporate governance, and I can talk about my own experiences where sometimes you go into a boardroom, you are an animal of the board pack, and the board pack might not have everything that should be in there. And I worked with one company that hid a lot of things and got us a lot of us into trouble because they didn't declare most of the things that they were supposed to declare. They were not open about some of the things that they were supposed to do. But if you are non-executive, the chances are that you might not be able to know what's hidden. So the trick is to ask and ask and ask. And at one point then, I had to resign from a from the company to say, until such time that you've come back with a board pack that makes sense, I will get off your board. But also is that we don't read our board packs. And I can talk about that very openly because I've sat on many boards. I've been fortunate to sit on many boards. And you find that you get onto a board meeting and people didn't prepare. So it becomes, so we must teach our young people to take that role that they choose themselves very seriously.
It's a values, I mean, corporate governance ultimately is a values thing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's morality. It's it's your moral compass.
Yes.
It's your ethical compass.
Yes.
It's your ability to understand those things. And that comes again from young. If you're sure about your values and where you come from, what's important, then that'll make life much easier for you, don't
it? Let's just reinforce what we've learned about how important values are. We use a saying, Doctor, we say that it's impossible to perform above your believed values.
Absolutely.
When we say believed, like what you really believe in. So if I believe that, say, criminality is bigger than me, then I will not perform. In other words, your believed values. But I just want to draw the important connection between your values and then the trust you have in yourself. A person can't trust themselves, really, if they don't have a grounding value system. And secondly, it's got a tremendous impact on the trust you build with others. So people slowly and surely, even though you may differ from them, they start building trust in you because you're consistent in your values. It's a beautiful leadership principle.
Powerful principle.
Absolutely.
Okay, the next point I've got, number five, I think, is acquire an interest in leadership early on. All you youth out there, acquire an interest in leadership early on. The challenge in today's society is that we prepare through formal studies to become confident at technical skills, to become good in medicine or law or business, engineering, teaching. But ironically, as youngsters enter the workplace and they're very good at what they do, they actually get promoted very often.
Yes.
And before they blink their eyes, what they really need is leadership skills.
Yes.
And but they started off their career thinking all they need are technical skills.
Yes.
I must qualify myself, get my degree, get my experience, and then I'll be the one.
Yes.
But if you're good at what you do, life takes you away from your technical experience.
Absolutely.
And it takes you into leadership managerial positions. And that's why I think if leaders can, youngsters can acquire an interest in leadership early on.
Yes.
As they may acquire an interest in some technical functional skill, they'll be well off in the future. I think leadership will come at our youngsters much faster now than it ever did. Also because they are technologically savvy, for example. Technology is playing a massive role in our society. And I find that leadership mantles fall on the youngsters faster than ever before. Because the older generation often need their input and advice. They need them to take the leadership on many issues.
Yes.
More so than, I mean, in my day, youngsters were just keep quiet, you know. Don't speak up. And not in, certainly not an adult conversation. It's different now. It's not like that anymore. So so that's the next one, interest in leadership early on. Any comments on that?
Definitely. I mean, you're right. We used to be seen, not heard. But you will never get that from young people. They have an opinion on on things. And it's something to marvel that they're there. Sometimes I depend on my grandchild to do the DSTV. You know, and to maneuver my phone.
So they take leadership.
They take leadership. That's the point. They take leadership on that and say, no, Kokwan, you can't do that. I'll help you. But the reality of the situation is them understanding that they are taking leadership.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are not aware of that they are being leaders, because we emphasize being certificated.
Correct.
Rather than the development of leaders outside of the classroom. Mm. And the combination is what makes them great. Mm. It's not either or, it's both put together.
Well said.
And at the end of the day, a well-rounded individual might have very, very minimal education, but become a great leader, and have somebody with a million certificates and be useless as a leader. Mm. So we need to harness both in young people, or teach them at an early age that they're both important.
Very important. Okay.
There is a lack of understanding what leadership is. Now, what the doctors brought out, affirmed, is a very important principle. We define leadership in different ways. What we do at Leadership Platform, we define it as that part of every one of us that enables us to move a situation in a positive direction. In other words, it's not the position or the standing or the income as such. So that's a part she's speaking about, and that's a part we desperately want everybody to recognize. And in that sense, it should be your first profession, then your functional thing second. So if your first profession is to make a difference, then you are really developing your leadership. Absolutely. And I don't think all educators understand that fully. Yeah.
The ability to move situations in a positive direction. Now, every single day of our lives, we're confronted by hundreds of situations. Right here, this is a situation. Are we moving it forward in a positive direction? If we are, we're leaders. Okay, and leaders are all about movement. The next one I've got now, time is running out, is ability to simplify. The more the world attempts to simplify things and become more sophisticated, it actually becomes more complex, because things like technology are bringing everything together. We can access more knowledge, more opportunities, more options than ever before. So really, the world is actually becoming more complex, and therefore the ability to simplify is a skill that youngsters must learn. Leonardo da Vinci said, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And the future generation must hold on to this truth, I think. The ultimate sign of intelligence is the ability to simplify. Decisions cannot be made in complexity. They must not be fooled, youngsters. Yeah. Do not be fooled by the temptation of impressing through complex talk.
Yeah.
Great leaders are able to simplify, and they need this skill in today's workplace. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you should study and get a good qualification.
Yes.
So that you can understand complex knowledge, but then you must acquire the ability to simplify it as you convey it and as you communicate it to the world, and then you become a leader. So the next point that I think youngsters must be aware of as we move into Youth Month in June, the ability to simplify in a world that's becoming increasingly complex. Quick comments on that, Dr. Yeah. Baloyi, Louis?
I think so. And, you know, if you go talk to people and they don't understand what you're saying, what's the point?
Mm.
And, you know, when I was growing up, my father used to say that, I'll be very disappointed in you if, as you grow up and go into the society, you cannot be able to mix with kings and queens and then not maintain the common touch.
Mm-hmm.
People must be able to understand you across the board. And I like the definition of an idiot, someone who says the same thing over and over again. Not understanding is not getting through, but keep repeating it. So people must understand what you are saying from the word go. As a public speaker, I know immediately if I've lost my audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's same in life. What's the point of you going to try and teach young people when they don't hear you?
Mm. Louis, very quickly.
Arden, we define leadership often to measure it, the ability to drive down to essences, simplification, and then contextual relevance is always all meanings in context. But this simplification we're speaking about here is you've got to take a path. It takes thinking and studying and experience and making mistakes in the process and changing all the time.
Now, to build on that, the next point I think youth should consider very strongly is they must acquire a broader view about life, people, and society.
Yes.
And in South Africa specifically, this includes a view that human beings are equal, that no race is better than another, and that underneath our skins we're all the same in terms of aspirations and our values. But perhaps the paradox is that every human being is also different, unique, and complex.
Yes.
As a friend of mine taught me once. Our next generation should broaden their horizon, and traveling is often a great way of doing this. And I think in the future we'll be able to travel through virtual reality and all kinds of ways. And they think they're traveling through Google these days. But yes. Maybe that helps. It does help them acquire some knowledge. But real traveling changes so much in you. It gives you such a broader perspective. Youngsters must learn to see and understand the world as one huge interconnected entity, mm-hmm. driven and affected, in my view, by simple social, political, economic, and universal dynamics. Mm-hmm. So that's the next point. Broader view about life, people, and society. Let me share the next two or three, and then you can jump in yes. on any of those. Learn to work hard but clever. Mm-hmm. Again, I teach our children this. I think the next generation must learn that they cannot achieve without consistent hard work.
Yes.
And that goes back to the discipline of consistency earlier. But they must also learn to do so in a clever way without sacrificing important relationships, mm-hmm. reputation, and health, as I also said. Hard work only sometimes equates to long hours. Mm-hmm. But you don't always have to work long hours. These days with technology and other advances, I think we don't necessarily have to fall into the trap of simply 12-hour days. The world can do without that. However, youngsters should never stop trying because they will most certainly lose the battle overnight. Being skilled at point three will help. Now, what I'm saying here is youngsters must find the balance between working hard but not too hard and being clever. Mm-hmm. If they don't try every day, the world will surely pull them away from everything that's important to them, like family and quality mm-hmm. of life and so on. Okay, so we must never stop trying. Become a skillful confronter. Mm-hmm. I think we live in a society where leaders confront each other through media, through social media and many other avenues, but they don't acquire the skill, as we discussed with a public protector last week, of sitting in front of Dr. Baloyi and saying, I have an issue with you, or you have an issue with me. Mm-hmm. Let's confront each other head on and talk to each other face to face, eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Okay, young people must learn that skill. And finally, the skill of humility, yeah. the quality of humility. Don't take 20 years to realize that arrogance is not the way. Mm-hmm. That eventually, the humble people, not weak, humble people are the ones who really achieve in this world. Humble people are the ones who learn, who realize I learn all the time. And as you said to me, Dr. Baloyi, you're not a teenager anymore, but you learn so much every day,
yeah.
every single day. So we have to acquire the humility. With humility comes the attitude of gratitude, as we say. Appreciate people, small things, and life in general. So those are some of my, just some thoughts to our youth out there as we head into June. Dr. Baloyi, any other comments that you want to add? Any realistic views for our youth about the future?
Yes, and I can use myself as a young person. I was very confrontational. And it was my view of the highway. And and it worked maybe during the time of having to struggle. But I also understand now that other people's views count. Mm. You definitely need to be humble to get across to people. Arrogance is not the way. And sometimes you do find that our children, because they've achieved something, they believe that they know everything. Yeah. At my age, and I'm 60, and I don't believe that I know everything. I learn everything from other people, and I always try to let younger people than me lead now, because I learn so much from them, and every day is a learning experience for me. The other thing is that I don't subscribe to the fact that I can only talk to this group of people, and the rest of the people are not important. There's no one in South Africa today who can tell you that they've ever invited me to something and I'm able to go and I don't go. Or they've asked me for help in a way when I'm able to do it and I don't do it because I think they're beneath me. That's something that we shouldn't teach our children.
Good advice. Very good advice. Louis, your final comments on humility, then we continue the conversation with Dr. Baloyi.
Just one point. Humility should really be equated with teachable. And this is important. Reinforce everything we've been saying. You can't be teachable without being humble because you stand in your own way. So it's all about being teachable.
All right. So for our youngsters, a very quick summary. Let me quickly go in there. So here it is: healthy patience, acquire healthy patience as you grow up and as you start taking over from the older generation. The second one is acquire the discipline to be consistent at what you do. In the end, you need 10,000 hours to earn your stripes, as Malcolm Gladwell taught us so adequately. Number three, have clarity about your value system. Know what you value, know what your values are, know what your ethics are, what your morals are, and you'll be fine in this world. You have to acquire an interest in leadership early on. Okay, that's important. Then the ability to simplify in a world that's becoming more and more complex. Another skill you have to learn. You have to acquire a broader view about life, people, and society. And traveling helps. You've got to see a bigger picture.
Absolutely.
Of so much that we are surrounded by. Learn to work hard but clever. Learn to work hard but clever. Next one, become a skillful confronter. And the final one is humility. There are, of course, many other qualities that youngsters must learn. I think what makes our life, our world so exciting, there was a time when we really felt we probably should always have learned from the younger.
Yes.
No doubt. But there was a time that we didn't think that so much. I think now we're realizing we can learn a lot from the youngsters, and hopefully they realize they can learn a lot from us. So we continue the conversation with Dr. Danisa Baloyi, very experienced leader. It's an honor to have her in the studio. We're going to take a quick break, and after the break, we will have a brief book review with Lorraine Tlapolosa, Outstanding Leadership by Stan Toler. I'm not so sure what that Toler is, the surname. T-O-L-E-R. So she's going to share just for a few minutes with us a book review, and then we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Danisa Baloyi.
CliffCentral.com.